Blog Talk Radio.
Is in the books, and week 17 is up on us very soon, very shortly. Welcome to another edition of the Neek and Rue Pro Football Talk Show. I am your host, Neek, and in the studio with me is always my good friend, Rudy Rude. And Rudy, man, Christmas is in a couple of days for a lot of these NFL teams. Their season is over with. They already looking forward to the new year. Some players don't know where they're going to be at next year. Some coaches don't even know where they're going to be at as well, because the Black Friday will be next week, next Monday. Black Monday, folks, will be the following Monday next week, which is where coaches will be getting dropped off. And it might be about four or five of those coaches as well. Hopefully, Pat Shurmur from my New York Giants will be gone. And on that note, Rudy Rude, Merry Christmas to you, my brother.
Hey, Merry Christmas to you, Nick. You talking about Black Monday. Why everything that's negative got to have a black connotation behind it? Message, hey, but for real, week 16 just wrapped up and football is in full effect because the playoffs are coming. But for some teams, I hope everybody out there has their presents wrapped. But for a lot of teams, it's a wrap for them and their playoff hopes, like my Browns. But we're going to get to all that, Nick. We're going to wrap up week 16, put a little bow on it. But, Nick, I am so excited about the playoffs. First, we'll start off with a little bit of news. Speaking of playoffs, the Vikings are in the playoffs. The Rams lost today. We'll cover that in just a few. Or the Rams lost, last night, as we had three games on Saturday yesterday leading up to Christmas. This year Christmas falls on a Wednesday, and we had some Saturday games, again, three games. I would say the main game featured the Bills and the Patriots. Touch on that in just a second. But again, the Vikings and the NFC are in the playoffs after the Rams lost on Saturday night to their division rivals. The Colts sign former Browns cornerback Brian Body Calhoun during the past week. The Browns signed Jermaine Grace. Neither of those two signings are significant in any way, shape, or form, but a significant impact in today's game was made at the Seahawks running back position with Chris Carson, having a good season for Seattle with their dangerous rushing attack. Their other running back, Rashad Penny, actually slipped my mind for a second, was injured previously, but now Chris Carson goes out with the hip. They fear that the Seahawks and 12, the 12s fear that it is a season-ending injury. And speaking of running backs, man, Kenyon Drake went crazy on the day. And the Cardinals might be a little truthful going into this year. And that spread system that they run under Kingsbury, but also C.J. Precise, who would have been the next man up with an arm injury, he's likely out for the rest of the year as well. So breaking news here, Neek is reporting reckless news that the Seahawks are reaching out to Skittles. We'll just leave them called Skittles or Beast Mode. We won't even name them by name in case they don't bring them in for work. They don't sign them, but that would be interesting. Kyler Murray leaves the Cardinals game, which we just mentioned. They played against the Seahawks with a hamstring injury. Don't know if he'll go next week, but did feature Todd Hundley scoring a touchdown late in that game. Finish things off, Neek. I did want to give a big shout out to two people. You mentioned the first one first that I planned to mention was Michael Thomas. Michael Thomas set the career reception record with 145. The interesting part about that to me was that on the 144th reception, it was from Taysom Hill, who is their gadget guy, their do-everything guy, their Josh Cribbs, knowing that I'm a Browns fan. And Michael Thomas set the single-season reception record. I believe it was previously held by Marvin Harrison, don't quote me on that. But the other thing I wanted to mention, Nick, before I pass the mic, son, in the cipher, is that Lamar Jackson is incredible, man. He ran for 100 yards against my Browns today. He set the single season yards for quarterbacks, breaking Michael Vick's previous record. The previous week, I think he was about at 1,100 before he ran for 100 today. So, man, he's incredible. Both of those guys, big shout-out to them. We haven't, you know, talked about either of those guys too much throughout the year, but they've been incredible and amazing and in the future and the face of the league right now. So I'm impressed. I'm in awe. I'm still rooting against the Ravens. But, Neek, let's talk about the playoff picture, man. You know, it's starting to shape out. You want to kind of update the people on what's happening before we get any of these scores?
Yeah, I mean, not too much going on. I mean, the NFC pretty much the biggest, well, actually the most kind of exciting right now, who's going to get the home field advantage. It could be the 49ers if they win the game next week against the Seattle Seahawks. The Eagles, we'll touch on their game in a little bit in a second. They did beat the Cowboys today, so they're leading the NFC East division. And then in the AFC conference right now, it's between the Steelers and the Titans. The Raiders on the outside looking in. But if the Titans win next week, they will get in. If they lose and the Steelers lose and the Raiders win, then the Raiders, surprisingly, actually get in as well. So they actually be the sixth seed as well. So on that note, yeah, that's pretty much the playoffs, man. And let's get into these games that took place today. And let's start off. Let's just start off with these Jags and the Falcons, man. It's crazy because the Jaguars have just quit. Oh, okay. Yeah, let's talk about on Saturday. Sorry about that. Saturday games. Let's start with that first game, which was those Buccaneers taking on those Texans and Jameis.
We were talking about Jameis so much, man, before. We were talking about Jameis quite a bit before the game and, you know, during the game, and Jameis did not disappoint. When you talk about a guy who's got high risk, high reward factor, Jameis throws picks, bro. He throws volume picks, but he also throws, you know, for good yardage. Now, he had his top two receivers out, and Goodwin, who's having an incredible year, Godwin, and then also Evans, who's one of the top receivers in the league. But he did still have Breshad Perriman. But Jameis did not disappoint. He threw like a pick six on the second play of the game, and he went on to throw four interceptions in that game between Houston and Tampa Bay. And that just – you can't. It's hard to overcome that.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, Jameis, next year, these Buccaneers, if they retain Jameis, but it sounds like they will because I'm not going to say Bruce Arians did come out because he did quote after the game. I don't know where this speculation is coming from, but we did not decide we're going to bring back Jameis yet. No discussions or decisions has been made as far as that goes. But if he does come back, I mean, he's definitely going to have to cut down on the interceptions. When you look at this offense, I mean, they could have one of the most explosive offenses in the league next season. But like I said, in this game, they didn't have their top two receivers. Breshad Perriman did have 7 catches, 102 yards. Ron Jones had 14 carries, 77 yards and a touchdown. But in the end, it was just too many turnovers. Deshaun Watson was solid, 184 yards. Kenny Stills led the Texans receivers with 5 catches for 57 yards. But, yeah, Texans, they win the division with this victory, and they're 10-5.
Neat. You telling Jameis to cut down on interceptions is like somebody telling me to cut down on drinking beers. It's not happening. It's in his nature, man. That's what makes Jameis happy, man. It's gunslinging. So moving on, you know, Tampa Bay, you know, I that where I'd have the encouragement for Tampa Bay moving forward is guys like Devin White, Jason Pierre-Paul, you know, some of the guys they have up front like Shaq Barrett. This defense is nice. This defense can bring pressure, and they did. Even in this game, they made it hard for Deshaun Watson at times. You know, another great game that was on Saturday was Buffalo and New England. So Buffalo lost this one after being in control most of the game. Really just couldn't get over the hump when it comes to competing for the AFC East crown. You know, New England's obviously controlled this division. Tom Brady kind of got off the snide a little bit in terms of his play. You know, he threw for, I believe, over 200, almost 300 yards in this game, 271 passing yards. Josh Allen threw for 208 yards. He had a beautiful strike to John Brown on a long touchdown. And again, New England controlled this game until late. I believe they were up, I want to say 17-13, and then the New England cut it to 17-16. And at that point, I knew just New England, they're used to winning. And that's the thing. It's the culture, right? But, I mean, there's a beautiful culture being created in Buffalo. Again, one of my cities. Shout out to Bocce's. Shout out to Blaine Avenue in the 716. But, yeah, Buffalo just can't get over that hump right now. And I have a feeling that Buffalo may see New England again in the playoffs. So I look forward to that because when these two teams play, these two defenses, wow, both of them are very good. I mean, we talk about that Bills secondary, very, very, very competitive. A lot of fire here with Hyde. With the Tredavious, so they have a great future. The present is now, though. Obviously, they're still in the playoffs. Not like they're out of the playoffs, but that was their chance to win the division against New England. Fell a little short there, but they got a lot to look forward to. And again, they'll be in the playoffs at, with their, I believe, 10-5 record right now. And New England improves to maybe 12-4, I think, or 12-3. Excuse me. But the late game, it's the Rams and the Niners. This was an excellent game, Nick. I'm going to let you cover this one. This went down to the wire.
Yeah, it was a good game. Just the 49ers made a little bit more plays. Jimmy G, that late touchdown, well, not late touchdown pass, but that late pass to Emmanuel Sanders under pressure, beautiful throw. I think it was a 40-some yard play. But Jimmy G, yes, earlier in the game, he did have two picks. He did finish with 248 yards, a touchdown. Kittle, balling as always, 5 catches, 79 yards, and a touchdown. And Goff, he's up and down all season, but he threw for 323 yards, 2 touchdowns. Gurley, it's just crazy, man. It kills me because Gurley, every time I look at his stats, it's always like 16 carries, 17 carries, 60 yards, and 2 or 3 touchdowns. That's it. I mean, it's just crazy. Is the days of Ty Gurley officially over, being that beast, that alpha dog at the running back position? And then Robert Woods looked pretty solid. He had 8 catches, 117 yards. But the Rams, they are officially eliminated from the playoffs at 8-7. And the 49ers, like you said, going to next week, they are 12-3, and they play the Seattle Seahawks. They have a good shot at winning home field advantage for the NFC playoffs.
Nick, you know, for people who have been listening to our show for a long time, those are the Saturday games. You're welcome. We gave those to you. For people who have been listening to our show for a long time, I know some of them are probably thinking, like, what happened to all you guys' catchphrases? Like, you guys are still informative. You guys are accurate. You guys know what you're talking about. You know, you guys are reputable football guys. We can listen to you guys talk about these games. We know what you're talking about. But what happened to all the phrases, the funny things? So, you know what, Nate? Somebody needs to get dropped off. And you know who it is? It's Doug Marrone. Doug Marrone needs to get dropped off because guess what? One of my favorite sayings used to be, them defensive backs are toast. And you know what? You know what Julio Jones saw? He saw a whole loaf of bread, and he saw a toaster. And it was the secondary of the Jacksonville Jaguars. And now Gardner Minshew is kind of at a disadvantage. At this point with Jacksonville not having a lot to play for, not having as healthy and hungry a defense as they had. They didn't want any toast. That Jacksonville Jaguars they didn't want any toast because they were the toast or the toaster. One of those two things in that combination. Gardner Minshew, he's the guy that's starting now for the Jaguars, and this team just really, really uninspired. Nothing too much to talk about. Gardner Minshew under 50%. Completions, you got Fournette that ran for 71 yards, but in this one, the big story was Julio Jones with 166 receiving yards on 10 receptions, and Matty Ice.
Yeah, and then there's the report that Doug Marrone and Dave Caldwell, the general manager, are coming back next year. They talked about that today. So, I mean, Khan did come out and say the owner is talking about there's going to be a lot of changes, but I mean, the only change so far was Tom Coughlin. He got fired from his position. So I don't see how you bring Doug Marrone back. But, hey, you know, you're the owner. If you think he's going to turn it around and you just need to make some changes on with the players, then go right ahead. I mean, this is your team. But on that note, I couldn't bring no Doug Marrone back because these Jaguars quit. Let's just be real today. They did not show up. They played terrible. It was terrible. The secondary was garbage. The best thing this Jaguars has is Fournette and that defense line. That's it. But that's about it. All right, but let's move on to the Giants. My Giants took on the Washington Redskins. Giants, you know, going in this game, I was just thinking to myself, I said, man, you know, we're in this Chase Young hunt, and then there was a report that came out this past week. Chase Young's talking about he's going to come back, you know, play for a senior year at Ohio State. I don't believe that right now because once, you know, if Ohio State do win the game, you know, they beat Clemson, or let's say they do win a national championship, you know, Chase Young's gone. I'm sorry, man. He's going to be the second overall pick. It don't get no better than this. Chase, just come on out this year. Get your money, man. Seriously, do the right move. You can always finish college, but right now you're looking to be the number two pick overall in the draft. You got to come out. That's just a no-brainer. But my Giants, they went into Washington, D.C. Very entertaining game. Both quarterbacks, Haskins and Jones, both had passer ratings at the end of the first quarter, which was crazy. Daniel Jones finished the game with 5 touchdown passes, no picks, no turnovers. Saquon had 22 carries, 189 yards. I mean, he balled out today. You know, the receiver position, Golden Tate was solid, 6 catches, 96 yards. And then on the Redskins, Dwayne Haskins got hurt. He took an ankle injury, so he didn't finish the rest of the game. Casey Keenum came in there, led the Redskins back, but it was just too much Giants in this game. Big shout-out to Adrian Peterson, who moved in the 4th all-time rushing list. He's definitely Hall of Famer. And Terry McLaurin, man, the rookie wide receiver for the Redskins, is the bright spot heading into next season. But Giants, they're 4-11. The Redskins, they have just officially moved into the number 2 overall spot for the 2020 NFL draft, and they're probably gonna take Chase Young.
Nate, we're not gonna talk about the bottom feeders in the NFC least that much, but from your rant, you know what I came up with? Daniel Jones is good. He's not Danny Fumbles anymore. He can go back to Danny Dimes. Another thing is new expression for the show. Take the money. Take the money. And for Chase Young, you know what? I think he wants to be a Giant. Come on home. Come on home. 2 things. You know what? Chase Young, come, go out, leave college. Come on home. Come on home to the Giants and take the money. Take the money, man. Always take the money. Hey, always take the money. And you know what else? If you are betting, take the money on the over, or not, excuse me, the over and under. Take the points. Take Baltimore and the points. I don't even know what the point spread was in Baltimore and Cleveland, but I know it wasn't 16. That's how much the Baltimore Ravens beat Cleveland by. Now, to be fair, as a Cleveland fan, I do have to say it was not that ugly. With it being a 2-score game, it was 24-15 late in this one. That's when Freddie Kitchens went for 2. And he did not get it. Ricky Seals-Jones actually let one go off his fingers. That was right on his fingers. And for all the people criticizing killing Baker, Baker's not the problem. OBJ is not the problem. Landry's not the problem. Leave those young men alone, all right? Chubb didn't have a great game. He only had 45 yards rushing. And offensively, we just were not at our best. And part of that is because it's hard to run against the Ravens. And Lamar Jackson, he could rim the ball, all right? Especially against a decimated defense that the Browns have. The reason why we're decimated is when you trade guys like Jannard Avery, you cut Chris Smith, you know, you traded Ogba before the year, you had the Whitehead incident, you know, you had Morgan Burnett getting hurt. You have some positions that were getting decimated. There's a reason why he's doing that. He's supporting that kind of stuff. That I'm talking about something totally unrelated. But the Browns, you know, again, their defensive line and their secondary was decimated later in the year. Guys like Randall, who got beat for 2 touchdowns by Andrews, up until today, I said, you know, I like Randall. Bring him back. No. They got to play better than that. And that defense has to show heart. And it's not that he's not showing heart, but you got a core on your defense that includes like Myles Garrett, Sheldon Richardson, Mack Wilson, Taki Taki, Ward, and Greedy Williams. Other than that, everybody's expendable. So I want you to know your jobs are, you know, if you get dropped off, I'm not mad. And on the offense, again, I named those guys that, hey, what's the Chubb? You need to re-sign Hunt, Landry, Odell. Other than that, you know, on the two offensive linemen and Treader and Batonio, everybody's expendable. So I want y'all to remember that when y'all go out week 17, go out and play like this is the last game of your career, because it definitely might be the last game of your career as a Brown.
Yeah, all right, Rue, that's enough of that Browns rant, but I'm just going to add my little two cents to this, man. I know you're a diehard Browns fan. Nobody knows the team better than you do, Rue. I get that. But when you really look at this Browns defense, there's a few pieces over there. There's a few. I mean, I had to sit back and analyze this whole defense. I said, yeah, you got Greedy. He's young. Ward, you know, going in second season, had an excellent rookie season, still solid. So that's a decent 1-2 punch. But you got people like Carey. You got people like Randall, who's got benched earlier in the year. And then he comes back. He plays one game, missed another game. He's got a lot of ailments going on with the legs or whatever else. And then you look at the linebacker, Corey Schobert. He makes too many tackles down the field. His name wasn't really called today. So it's just like, and Garrett's out. We already know about the Garrett situation. So it's like, Browns, they need some players over there. They need some playmakers over there on that side of the ball. But, yeah, enough said with that.
Well, the thing about that is, Nick, there's nobody coming. We're going to gut the roster, but we're just going to draft a few players. We'll sign a few players in free agency. Our defense is not going to be necessarily what we lean on, and hopefully it'll be good, but it's the running game, and then hopefully the pass game will develop. I've already said, I haven't said it on the show, but Nick, we've had a lot of conversations about this. Everybody wants to fire Freddie. Don't fire Freddie. Just go out and get better coaches. What has Todd Monken done for this organization? He does not call plays, he's offensive coordinator. Go out and get a guy that's coached before to fill that offensive coordinator position. Ryan Lindley, what are you doing? Get a quarterback coach as well. I'm done.
Yeah, and that's the same thing Mike Tomlin's thinking about today, because he had to play musical chairs at the quarterback positions over up in New York because Duck Hodges was terrible. He threw a couple picks. So Mike Tomlin got tired of watching that nonsense, so he went back to Mason Rudolph. And then Rudolph did got him to a touchdown. They only scored 10 points. Steelers are supposed to be a playoff team. They're trying to go to the playoffs in 2019, and they only had 10 points against the New York Jets. And that Jets defense, they were getting after the Steelers quarterbacks in this game. Darnold was solid, 183 yards passing and a touchdown. Le'Veon Bell, 25 carries, 72 yards. And I got to keep in mind, he is running behind a suspect offensive line as well. But the Jets win this game 16-10. All right, moving on. Saints and the Titans. This was a very entertaining game. Saints were actually with this victory today. They moved to 12-3, and the Titans, who are fighting for that sixth seed in the AFC conference, they lost this game in a close game, 38-28, but they didn't have Derrick Henry today, so Deion Lewis filled in, had 15 carries, 68 yards. Tannehill was very solid, 272 yards, 3 touchdowns, but Alvin Kamara, man, he had 2 touchdowns today rushing. He hasn't had a rushing touchdown since week 3. And then Michael Thomas, we got to give this man some props because he had 12 catches, 136 yards, and he just broke Marvin Harrison's single season receiving catches in the season. So Thomas went over this mark. I think he's at 145. Yeah. And the record was 143, but Thomas finished the game with 12 catches, 136 yards, and a touchdown. Saints win on the road.
You can't beat the Saints with a guy that's catching 150 catches in a year, because that's what he's going to do. He's ridiculous. Hey, you know what else is ridiculous? The fact that people thought the Bengals and the Dolphins were tanking. You can't tell me that the Bengals were tanking after they kicked that beautiful onside kick that they got at later, almost the end of regulation. The triple bounce, they got that back. Not only did they get the touchdown throw to Eifert, but then Andy Dalton runs it in for the two-point conversion, but the Bengals lose in overtime because that's what they need to do. So the Bengals lost in overtime today. Still remain the only 1-win team in the NFL for the season. They are 1-14. That is abysmal and terrible, but Miami wins this one 38-35. Not a whole lot to talk about here other than the fact that Dalton had 396 yards passing and 4 touchdowns, and Ryan Fitzmagic had 419 yards passing and 4 touchdowns. That's pretty nice.
Yeah, and Dalton numbers, let's be real. He was struggling in this game for much of the game, especially in the first half, because Fitzpatrick, I kept texting Rudy. I said, man, Fitzpatrick, 200 passing yards, and he finished the game with 419 yards. I mean, yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's why I said stats are very screwed, because I was like, hold on, Dalton finished with 396 yards? Come on, man. But anyway, Bengals did come back in this game, kept it very close. They actually had a shot. But guess what? Bengals do lock up the number one overall pick in the 2020 draft, and hopefully they will be smart and take Joe Burrow. That should be the pick right there. If not, Zach Taylor and the rest of his Bengals staff needs to be fired. Seriously talking. Let's move on to the Carolina and Indianapolis Colts. It's crazy because as we're doing the show right now, we're just looking at the TV screen. We saw Greg Olsen after the game was just going off. He was pissed talking about, I mean, right now we're just a shell of ourselves. We got guys who already quit, packed it in. I mean, this game, this performance by the Panthers team was just pitiful. I mean, just no other words to explain. They didn't show up in today's game. They did start Will Greer, the rookie, but he did have three interceptions. He struggled. Christian McCaffrey had 15 catches. 15 catches.
Wow.
I mean, wow. I understand that DJ Moore, Carolina's number one wide receiver, he did leave the game early, but that's all they had, McCaffrey. And the sad thing is Curtis Samuel, who I was big on, he's just been a disappointment his second season. I thought he'd do better than this, but Christian McCaffrey, 15 catches. 15 catches, man? That's ridiculous. And then on the Colts side, I mean, Jacoby Brissett, 119 yards. I mean, that's it. I mean, heading 2020, I mean, I understand the Colts really don't have any wide receiver options like that, a number one wide receiver right now. I mean, T.Y. Hilton did have three catches, 26 yards. But this Colts heading in 2020, they're going to have to look at drafting the quarterback, because I'm sorry, Brissett, he has digressed as this season, 2019 season, has gone on week in and week out. He has been struggling. But Colts win this game with a blowout 38-6.
Nick, I'm trying to look for what's the next best game, and I guess you want to go to Oakland, Nick, and the Oakland Raiders. Unfortunately, they lost their last game last week in Oakland in the Black Hole. You know, I always like to say that, Nick. I just, you know how I get down. You know how I get down, bro. In the Black Hole, where everybody got the skeleton mask on and they looking crazy. They got spikes coming from their shoulders like Lady Gaga. It's crazy up in the Black Hole. And I'm going to miss that Black Hole, bro. You know, like how I was talking about earlier with the connotation of black being bad. The Black Hole is good. I mean, I used to love that. But now y'all moving to Vegas. So you know what? Nick, you're going to be gambling in y'all games now. But in this game, if you would have gambled and you picked the Raiders, you would have won. Because unlike my Browns, you guys wanted to win. You committed to excellence. And guess what? Derek Carr was good enough. I guess there was there no Josh Jacobs in this one? All I know is Washington ran for 85 yards, had a tud in this one. And Hunter Renfro, my dude, came back. He had over 100 yards receiving, 107 to be exact, on seven receptions and a touchdown. Derek Carr and the Raiders cruise in this one. Tell them what you think.
Yeah, and the thing of it is, Raider Nation and other fans, is that, and I'm not going to lie as well, I had to really calm down because Giants are my number one team, Raiders my number two team, been a lifelong fan of both teams. And I really had to really sit back and say, you know what, it's not all Derek Carr's fault, because he doesn't have a number one wide receiver. You know, and Tyrell Williams, he's been in and out of games with injuries. So it's pretty much been Zay Jones, Hunter Renfro, and that's why Derek Carr's been throwing the ball out of bounds a lot, or he's just been checking it down. He doesn't have a lot of options. And Darren Waller has been pretty much his go-to guy, but teams are starting to doubling him. So Carr today, he went 26 of 30 for 291 yards against a very good Chargers defense who has Derwin James back now. And to go 26 of 30 for 291 with no number one wide receiver route, that's pretty damn impressive. So, Carr, man, I like you, Carr, man. You should be our guy going to Vegas next year, as long as we get us a number one wide receiver. But the Raiders win this game 24-17. All right, let's move to Detroit and Denver. Detroit came in this game 3-10, traveling a mile high, and they took L. I mean, anytime you got David Blah as your starting quarterback, he was blah like today, 117 yards passing, and we know it's tough to win out in mile high. Karen Johnson came back. He had 10 carries, 42 yards. Galladay had 6 catches, 66 yards. Drew Lock, 192 yards and a touchdown was efficient. But the Broncos won this game based off their running game. Phillip Lindsay, 19 carries, 109 yards and a touchdown. And my young wide receiver out of Penn State, Deshaun Hamilton, contributed with 6 catches, 65 yards as the Broncos moved to 6-9 on the season.
Only thing I want to say about the Broncos going 69, same way the Browns did here, going 69, Drew Lock is your guy. Drew Lock's came in. He's done the requisite things to come in here and be the starting quarterback moving forward for the Broncos. And I think for John Elway, that's a good look. You don't think Drew
Lock? Nah, stop the press. Listen.
He's 2-1.
Listen, Rue. We saw what happened in Carolina this year with Kyle Allen. He got out balling.
Perfect
doing
example.
His thing.
That's the perfect example. You're right.
But guess
no,
what?
No, Daniel Jones is also the perfect
As
example, too.
As the season progressed, more games he played
they got
in, yeah, he started to struggle.
Drew
so
Lock
I'm not going to say Drew Lock is the guy right now, but heading into next season, he is the number one option.
Joe Flacco's not that guy.
He has earned the right to be their quarterback heading next season, unless Joe Flacco outplays him.
Unless Joe, Nick, we're gonna have a discussion off air about this because I'm not gonna call you all the MFers. I'm gonna call you talking about Joe Flacco can still start for the Broncos. Moving along, mentioned Denver beat Detroit 27-17 at home. We'll go to this Dallas Philadelphia game now. In the NFC, this was the big game, but it was a stinker. Glad I took my 4 o'clock nap during this game. I'm gonna be honest, I take a 4 o'clock nap after the Browns losses. I do. Okay, admit it. I still got the Eagles. I probably will delete it a couple of days because it's really football. And you got other teams back in their ass on the truck. I don't like it. I don't like that these 500-ass teams are keeping Rams out of the playoffs when the receiving core is goddamn amazing. Shut this now. That motherfucking man about to
as much as you say this year to be fired, I mean, nah, I feel that. But here's the thing. This team came out flat. The 20 games this year, this team had come out look flat. And then a lot of that goes on Jason Garrett, but a lot goes to Kellen Moore, the offensive coordinator. I mean, you're supposed to have the best offensive line of football. You give Zeke Elliott this big-ass contract, and he's only getting 12 carries one game, 25 carries another game, then 7 carries another game. I mean, what's going on? I mean, there's no balance. So Kellen Moore deserves a lot of heat. Jason Garrett deserves a lot of heat. But these players deserve a lot of heat. And I told you about Amari Cooper. That's why Oakland got rid of him. He only plays every now and then. He'll make some nice catches here and there. But he always has some kind of injury. He takes himself out of the game. Dak Prescott today. I mean, I give him props. He tried to play. He tried to give the best he could. I mean, he's got that injured shoulder. But Gallup is pretty much their number one wide receiver. He's the only consistent wide receiver they have. But the defense, they couldn't even get to Wentz. You paid DeMarcus Lawrence all that money. He hasn't done anything. Jalen Smith, you haven't heard his name called pretty much most of the season, except for before the season started. He got that big, huge contract extension. So these players are not performing.
Hey, Nick, all I'm going to say about that game is that Zeke had 47 yards rushing on 13 carries. That's pitiful. That's the biggest game of the year for them. You know, it's not like the Browns and Ravens. Like, you know, we could have tried to, you know, win that game. We're still not going to make the playoffs if we win that game, even though we would still be mathematically in. This was the big game of the year for the Cowboys. They got to come to play, and Zeke got 13 carries, 47 yards. If that's the case, you might as well have damn gave Dak Prescott a $30 million contract for 3 years before the season instead of Zeke, because Zeke ain't doing shit. All right, let's move on to the NFC West, because that is the best division all of football, not only the NFC. And you know why? Because the Cardinals won this damn game. And you know of the two broadcasters that are here on this show right now, you know who picked this game? Me, because I watched the game and the football. And I watched King and Drake. I watched the spread offense. I watched Kingsbury. I watched his influence on football and the spread offense, the pistol formation coming out and
daggone 12 personnel or even 22 personnel is what's going to do it. The college basically style and, you know, offensive, you know, whether it be formations or scheme is what's really, I don't want to say taking over the NFL, but it can be effective. The Cardinals are showing it. You take a college coach that's got experience with the spread and you bring it to the NFL, teams going to have problems with it. Now, the Cardinals aren't winning because they got a lot of holes all over their team, especially on defense. Guys like Patrick Peterson, maybe a little overpaid, overrated at this point. They got to get that defense together, even though I do love Chandler Jones. I love Kenyon Drake, and I love Kyler Murray for years to come. Hey, the Cardinals beat the Seahawks in this one, 27-13. Impressive, young man.
Yeah, very impressive game for the Seahawks. They're going to struggle in the playoffs. I'm just going to keep it real. You lose both running backs, your number one running back, Carson, and then your backup, you know, Precise. What's the name?
CJ
Precise. Yeah, right. I got it right. Yeah, it's so dumb. I'm really butchering this guy's name. But also, their offensive line is in shambles. They have a lot of injuries that I don't think they can make a deep run. But, hey, you can't count on the Seahawks when you have Russell Wilson as your quarterback. Sunday night game. Kansas City Chiefs winning in Chicago, dominate the Bears. Not much to talk about in this game. Mahomes was efficient, as always, 251 yards. The main takeaway from this game is that this Chiefs defense is balling. Terrell Suggs played a little bit, but Tyrann Mathieu is the MVP of this defense. Yeah, this Chiefs defense is ready to wreak havoc, and I think they're going to make a run heading into the playoffs.
I want to give a shout-out to the same guy you just mentioned, man. Tyrann Mathieu, the Honey Badger. He's been incredible for Kansas City. And now this coming down, is getting late in the year. Defense is starting to show out. They're really gelling, you know, like Magellan. Monday Night Football, Green Bay and Minnesota. This is going to be a tough game. I didn't even put down a score for predictions on this one. I just wanted to hear your analysis of the game. I mean, obviously, you know, what stands out on the surface is you're going to have A-Rod against, Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins got snubbed for the Pro Bowl. I really felt that Kirk Cousins, he's had an excellent year. Aaron Rodgers had an excellent year. I don't know if guys are going to play a game. I do know that both of these defenses are much improved, shall we say. And I do know that both of these run games are improved. So if these guys don't play a full game, it'll still be an interesting one because this is a division rivalry.
Yeah, this is huge playoff implication as far as the seeding goes. For the Minnesota Vikings, no doubt, Madison, I think he might be out as well. I have to check that as well to see. But Thielen's going to be back. It's going to be a very low-scoring game. Both of these teams know each other very well. If the Vikings win this game, they will win the division, which helps out their seeding in the playoffs. Green Bay wins this game, they win the division as well. So it's going to be a close game. It's going to be in Minnesota. Packers, they're struggling offensively with that passing game. Just Devontae Adams, that's all they have. Jimmy Graham, he's up and down. Max, what's his name? Valdez, yeah, Scandling. He's got three names. he's been struggling this year as well. So this Packers offense, they got to get together because we already know it runs through Aaron Jones. He's pretty much their number one offensive threat outside of Aaron Rodgers. But I'm going to take the Vikings in this game with a low score just because they're playing at home. I have the Vikings win this game 20-17.
I got the Vikings in this one. They got the munchies. They're a little hungrier in this one. I don't know why you cracking on Valdez Scantling because, you know, when you get married, you're going to take her last name, too. You're going to have that hyphenated last name. I'm just messing with you, bro. That's what homies do. So we haven't, you know, everything's happening. No more Thursday night football. Unfortunately, no more Saturday football. We got all our games coming on Sunday and Monday. Is there a Monday night game? I think, yeah, there's a Monday night game last week. No Monday night game. We got a slate today. So we got Monday night football. We'll do it, Nick. Not if I want to do it. I'll mention a game. I'll give it a word. And then you give it four. Nick's going to probably do it off the top of his head. It's all good. He's like that. He's a G. But let's start off with the Jets and the Buffalo Bills. I got the Bills winning this one 17-13, just off the strength, coming off a tough loss. Jets actually coming off a win. But I'm thinking that the Bills might want to show people that they ain't no slouch going into the playoffs. Josh Allen, a young man, take your time. I think he will in this game. He'll find all the avenues he needs to. He will break down that Jets defense, and the Jets can't really control the game in the run game, so
that's going to be why they're going to lose this one.
Yeah, I have the Bills win this game, close game. Bills are in the playoffs. Jets don't have much to play for. Getting ready for the next season. Bills win this game, close game. Bengals and the Browns. I'm taking the Bengals in this game just because I want to see Kitchens fired. Kitchens, the Browns lose this game to the Bengals. Kitchens out. He's gone. He's gone. OBJ is going to be running his mouth, but I'm going to take the Bengals to win this game in a shootout 31-28.
With your dumb ass, you're trying to be funny, bro. I'm saying, man, that's what I love about our show. We could say anything we want, man. The Bengals are 1-14, but you're going to pick them. You know, and I like to pick against the Browns because a lot of times they haven't shown me a lot this year. But I didn't get to mention during the show, Nick, the main thing I was looking for was from the Browns today was their defensive effort. And the defensive effort was there. They made a couple of brain freezes, like they were drinking ices on defense. You know, like their brain just froze for a second. They just stared off into the stars like I do sometimes. But no, the Browns' effort was there. So guys like Paul Gustin and Brian Cox Jr., it's not even going to hurt us so much because those guys come out and make plays. They want to play in the NFL. So that's beautiful. The Browns, man, get out of here, man. 28-23.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. Patriots and the Dolphins. I'm taking the Patriots. They're going to blow the Dolphins out in this game. Bears and Vikings.
Hold on.
What?
You're getting ahead of yourself. I got the Patriots winning too. 24-9.
Yeah, that's what I said. Ain't nothing to talk about in that game. Bears and Vikings. It all depends what happens tomorrow night. The Vikings win. I can see them resting their players next week. But yeah, I'm going to take the Vikings in that game as well.
Vikings 27-16.
All right, Packers Lions. Like I said, a lot depends on tomorrow night's game. Packers win, I can see them resting their players, but I'm gonna take the Packers. No, actually, if the Packers do win tomorrow night, I'm gonna take the Lions in that game next week.
This fucking flip flopper, he got flip flops on right now, and he walking with the flip flops on here. You know that flip flop sound. The Packers win this one 20-14.
All right, Steelers and Ravens. Ravens just wrapped up home field. Question is, will they play their guys or will they rest their guys? I mean, here's the thing. If they go ahead and rest their guys, they're going to be resting for about, what, 2-3 weeks? Yeah, they got a nice little break. But I could see the Ravens playing their guys in this game, maybe a half or whatever, and then give them the break. But I'm going to take the Ravens in this game 20-17.
Yeah, the Ravens are winning this game because the Pittsburgh quarterback situation sucks. They better hope that Ben Roethlisberger can come off that mountain that he's been living on with that beard that he's growing with the little birdies in it and shit, and he can get his elbow right and come back and play for him next year because the other two quarterbacks suck. Between a Rudolph and a Duck Hunter from Sanford, that's not going to do it.
I was about to say Cowboys. Actually, let's go. Cowboys and the Redskins. Cowboys got to win this game. They want to get in the playoffs. They got to win this game. So this is do or die for them. They're going to be actually watching the big screen because the Giants play the Eagles, and all the Eagles have to do is beat the Giants. But the Giants last couple weeks look very good offensively. Defense sucks as always, but, hey, that's why we're 4-11. I actually want the Giants to win, but I want the Eagles to win because I don't want to see the Cowboys go to playoffs. Eagles win this game. I'm going to say it's a shootout, 38-35.
Nick, real quick, I got the Giants winning this one 24-23 over the Eagles. Then I also got the Cowboys winning. Now that I look at it, I have the Cowboys winning 24-21 over Dallas. So that would actually put the Cowboys in. And those are my predictions. I do not want the Cowboys to make the playoffs. D-note. Asterisk. I do not want the Cowboys to make the playoffs, but I guess in this scenario, I actually have them making the playoffs.
Yeah, I was about to say Redskins again, but Rams and Cardinals, interesting game right here. Both teams playing for next season. I'm going to take the Rams in this game 24-21.
Yeah, I'm leaning toward the Cardinals in this one. I got the Cardinals winning this one 23-17. I don't know if you noticed, but they've won their last two games. And Kenyon Drake and, like I said, Kyler Murray are looking amazing. Larry Fitzgerald, I hope you come back next year, man. That's my UOP alumni, homie.
All right, Raiders and Broncos. Raiders going to be watching the screen. They got to take care of this game. They got to be Broncos. They want a shot to get in the playoffs. Titans and Texans. Titans, they just got to win this game. They win this game. They're in the playoffs. They lose game. And the Raiders win. And the Steelers win. Titans are out.
Indy over Jacksonville. I don't think we mentioned that one yet. Indy 24, Jacksonville 12. You mentioned the Titans and the Texans. That's a tough game. I don't know if you mentioned Oakland over Denver yet, but that's what I got. At least the Raiders, they keep some semblance of a playoff hope alive. at least in a low percentage, some capacity, as Oakland beats their division rivals and Drew Lock 24-13, even though he's their future franchise quarterback. San Francisco and Seattle. I got Seattle winning this one over San Francisco. They're hungrier. I'm so hungry right now. I want some heat. Who you got, Nick?
I've got Seattle. No, actually, I got San Francisco.
You don't know. You a flip-flopper. You don't know. Like, you got two teams. You got two teams winning one game. That don't work.
See you guys
next week. Nick got a tie. He think they're going to tie after overtime. Nick, that's not.